Om Vijnana Timarandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Taksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridhar Mayapur. This is a part of my protocol, part of my routine that every day about this time before my Puri Yatra, I come to Mayapur. I stay with Yugala Priti and Jagadish. They got a fantastic place, and I'll soon start giving class, every day. And a few people will come to visit me, and I'll facilitate their stay. That's one of the things I do. But I really didn't want to miss the Sangha. My plane came in about 12 o'clock. But it really took it took actually over 5 hours to get. It was the worst traffic I've ever seen. But I feel pretty good and I'm ready to give class. But to make it a little easier for me, I'm just gonna speak a little bit what I've been speaking about the last week in Vrindavan, which is Brihadbhagavatamrita Part 1. I'll also be lecturing on that in Mayapur. So why don't I start with that? Even though I gave some summary, I may, because I got in so late, I may not be able to go the full hour, but I think I can give something substantial. And I'm happy to be here in Odaryadam. Odarya means magnanimity. It means mercy. Kindness, which means basically it's not only kindness, it's undeserved kindness, where you get more than you deserve, more you can pay for. Bhakti itself is like that. The real mood of bhakti is that bhakti is such a treasure, it's such a go, it's of such value that it has a high price, a higher price than we can ever hope to pay for. And it's one of the ways, actually, to develop patience. One of the favorable qualities in bhakti is patience and confidence. Utsayan nischayadharya. And when that means, one of the things it means is that real bhakti, which is happiness, the goal is happiness. Real bhakti is really so special because it's happiness, but it's not only happiness, it's God's happiness that we share in. Love is such a thing that you share it with someone and you also you appreciate the same thing. It's the same energy from a different perspective. One is the beloved and one is the lover, but they're sharing the same energy. So bhakti is an energy of God, and we're sharing that energy with God. We're sharing God's love. We're sharing God's pleasure. And what is that like? And that's our shraddha, that's our faith. Yeah, that's our faith. our faith is that this is the best thing. So this is Odaryadam. That means magnanimity, kindness. It's kind of, you get more than you, much more than you deserve. So in my own practices of Krishna consciousness and my own good fortune, I do get to come here and to taste Vrindavan, but in a different mood. Like a person can have different moods. A person can have a mood of intimacy, madhurya, or they can have a mood of magnanimity or compassion. It's the same person, but a different aspect of their mood. So in the same way, this is Vrindavan with a little bit of a different mood. The mood of magnanimity. And that's very attractive to the conditioned souls. That's why in one sense, Gaur-lila is even more relevant and attractive to us than Krishna-lila. Because where we may not be able to fully conceptualize and grasp what God's intimate, conjugal and familial pastimes are, one thing someone can grasp, no matter how fallen they are, no matter how unqualified they are, and in fact, the more fallen and unqualified they feel, the more they can grasp it, and that is mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a certain relevance to it. And it should be incorporated into our spiritual life. At least when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should always begin with Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. So I'm kind of happy to be here and spend the next 3 weeks. Wow. Okay, so in Vrindavan, I've been lecturing on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So let's see if I can just give something today of it. Maybe I'll continue that in the future after I finish the Bhagavatam, but let's do it right now. It's quite a this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I don't know. It's one of the greatest novels that's ever written. If you want to call it a novel, history, whatever, but it's got a theme, and I've been really relishing how expertly this theme is being developed from so many different angles. And the real theme, and it actually parallels, it's written by Sanatana Goswami, it actually parallels the Bhagavatam. Because the story begins when Marge Prickett, you know, he's cursed to die in 7 days by a snake bird. And, you know, he goes to the bank of the Ganga and the great sages come and then ask the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? What should he not do? And then his guru, Sukadeva Goswami, appears and speaks to him the Bhagavatam. And he listens attentively. And then when he finishes it, there's a result. Where, you know, revealed scripture, sacred texts give faith. They give you conviction. Conviction to do the right thing. So he understood. He understood clearly that conviction driving his focus, that he was ready to just focus his mind on Krishna without any doubt, with the right level of faith, a conviction. And I always make the point, faith is not I believe or not believe, it's a level of conviction. So he had full faith, trust by experience. He had full faith that this is what I should be doing and I should put all my energy into it. I was staying at some Vaishnav's house in Delhi before I go. A family of Vaishnavs. I'm very, very close to them. They're wonderful Vaishnavs. And he was telling me something that his guru had told him that really affected him, because he felt like, I'm just so unqualified. I'm just so unqualified. And his guru said, what if you're have to take care of a family, but you don't really make so much money? He said, then you have to work really hard. So he said that same thing in terms of our bhajan, our practices. We are not very qualified. Therefore, we should work hard. And this really inspired my friend, that when you do your spiritual practices, when you do your spiritual practices, at least for that time, you should work hard. You should give your... So Maharaj Prickett was ready, and then at that moment, then his mother came. And basically, he's ready to leave the world. He's ready to leave all attachments. And I don't remember the exact exchange, but basically it was his mother, who was not now. You know, it's not the time. His mother said, I'm not coming because I'm your mother. I'm coming because you heard the Bhagavatam, and I want you to share that nectar with me. We all want to hear from people who are realized. Because there's a certain conviction in their instructions that is transferred to us. We can feel it. So we're all seeking to hear from people who have some realization, because they not only just understand something is true, but they see it. When you see something is true, you have a depth of understanding, then you're able to communicate it. Communicating means packaging it according to the understanding and frame of reference of your audience. So Maharaj Prickett knew he had even less time now. And he basically summed up the Bhagavatam in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is interesting. It's a different story with the same story, philosophical story. I think a book, especially a sacred text, it has a story, a storyline, but that storyline is communicating a philosophical progression of truth. We do that all the time. Someone speaks a verse on the Bhagavatam, it may be a particular point in the Bhagavatam, and let's say five different qualified people speak on the same verse. They'll speak completely different from the standpoint of the story, but in terms of the philosophical point being communicated, the same thing will be communicated. So that's basically what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, because what is the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is a progression of realizations leading to pure devotion, leading to gradations of pure devotion, just like the seventh canto is Prahlad, he's a pure devotee, and the ninth canto is Hanuman. So Prahlad is meditating, but Hanuman is serving. So it's a deeper realization or conception of bhakti. And that way, there's a progression leading up to the Vrindavan pastimes and ultimately the gopis, which Prabhupada said is the culmination. It's the smiling face. It's the most powerful love. It's the most powerful love because within that relationship, materially or spiritually, of course, materially, the intensity is in terms of the lust, and spiritually, the intensity is in terms of the love. But it has the most intimacy and freedom in that relationship. There's the most freedom. There's nothing checking the love. There's the most freedom in that relationship. So it leads to that as the culmination. So the same thing, the Bhagavatam is progressive in terms of realizations of devotion leading up to the 10th canto and the gopi. So Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the same thing, but in a different way. And this is the storyline in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that expresses that. The storyline is Narada is at the Kumbh Mela. In fact, they're having a Kumbh Mela. They expect 70 million people. And there will be 70 million people. And the very interesting thing is that the chief minister of Uttar Pradesh, where Vrindavan is, and Allahabad, now Prayagraj, he is a yogi. The chief minister is in Saffron. His name is Yogi Adityanath. He's the chief minister. And a lot of good things are happening. You can't take cars around Govardhan anymore. Anywhere. It's all closed up. You can't have, they ban plastic bags in Vrindavan. They're making a road, a highway around Govardhan, not inside, but way outside Govardhan. So he's really promoting this. And he changed the name of Allahabad. Changed the name of Allahabad to Prayagraj, where the Kumbh Mela is, 70 million people. So since time immemorial, that's been happening. So Narada was at the Kumbh Mela. And he was worshiping the deity there, and Kirtan with other devotees. And then he saw a pure Brahmin walk in a distance, make some mud, make an altar, take a little cloth out, put his Shalagram Shila in. And then in the mode of goodness, worship so purely, he could see it. You can say anything, but your actions, the face is an index of the mind. He saw the devotion. And after this wonderful devotion, which included him singing the most beautiful prayers, he could see the love the person had. And then after he made the offering, he had a retinue of assistants because he was a very high Brahmin. And then he fed all the women, the children, the Brahmins, the dog eaters, the animals, everything. Practically left nothing for himself. And then when he looked at the deity, he said, whatever benefit I have accrued from worshiping you, I offer back to you because I want nothing from you. I only want your pleasure. So Narada was so impressed. He was so impressed that he became so enthusiastic. He came running over to this Brahmin and said, you are the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. You are the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. Now, the consciousness of a Vaishnava is not to feel superior. I remember one Sadhu Vrindavan kind of, I don't know if he chastised or joked to my friend, don't think you're better than everyone or anyone. So he was a real Vaishnava. And he was tasting the sweet love of bhakti. And bhakti is humility. Because you cannot have bhakti unless you recognize that there's something higher than your own desires. And you put yourself under. Bhakti means you want to please. So you, to please someone, you're directed by their desires. So there's no feelings of false ego or superiority in bhakti. Bhakti is a purely humble feeling. Bhakti is the admittance that I should be ruled by something higher than my own desires. And in true bhakti, one feels it. And one doesn't want to be in the center. Only for service. Only for service does one take position of teacher, authority, whatever it is. But only in a mood of service, service. He says, you're the topmost devotee. And he said, no. He was happy in his humility and devotion. No, I'm not the topmost devotee. And then he pointed to a king, because he was making his family Krishna conscious, but the king, the whole kingdom was Krishna conscious. Everyone was being fed prasadam, and he put all the assets of the kingdom in the name of the deity. But anyway, so it's a progression, and it's a progression to show the beauty of bhakti in all its varieties of shapes and flavors. You know, when you want to understand something, it's described, I think, in the Bhagavatam, the axe of knowledge. Why the axe of knowledge? You know, when you sharpen an axe, you have to hit it from different sides. And then it becomes very sharp. So if you want to understand something deeply, it's good to hear it in different ways from different sides. That's why it's so important in higher education to have diversity of thought, even thoughts that are opposing to what you believe. But you either will get a higher thought or get more conviction in what you believe. To be a Bhagavatamrita presents this point of bhakti, and you know, it's all its shapes. And the way it presents it is nice. First, you get Narada's perception of the person. So through the Narada's eyes, you see what bhakti in love and action looks like. Then you see bhakti through the reaction of the person. So you see it through the eyes of Narada, and then you see it through the person's own action. So anyway, in this story, I'll just get up to where I am today. So Narada keeps on being pointed to deeper, more and more intimate levels of devotion. And finally, he comes to the great devotee Ugrasena in Dwarka, and Ugrasena, and he tells Narada, if you really want to meet the greatest devotee, you have to see Uddhava. Because outside of Vrindavan, this is outside of Vrindavan, Uddhava is the topmost Vaishnava. He's called the Parishad. There's different types of servant. But the Parishad is very, very special. The Parishad is a servant who is a confidant. You may have someone as your servant, but he's more your confidant. You may have someone working for you. You may be his boss, but he becomes your confidant. You can tell and share with that person anything. And you accept advice and you trust that person. So Uddhava is very, very special. So he said, you must go see Uddhava. So the sixth chapter, what I was studying Vrindavan, opens up in a very interesting way as Narada enters Dwarka. And we see bhakti through Narada. And the one of the symptoms of bhakti is the enthusiasm to get sadhu sangha. I don't know where I heard this, but I heard it one place. I can repeat it, that the train of bhakti runs on the tracks of sadhu sangha. Because devotion is in the hearts of the devotees. And that's why Krishna appears as Chaitanya. Because Krishna wants to experience love from the perspective of the devotee. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, he's Krishna himself, but he doesn't have bhakti. He's the object devotion. Bhakti is in the heart of the devotee. He goes to a devotee. So this is actually the essence of bhakti and the essence of our prayers. If you want to chant sincerely for something, chant for sadhu sangha. And first class sadhu sangha means more advanced, like-minded, and a relationship with that person. So if you want bhakti, you want sadhu sangha. Just like our devotion, our level of devotion is exactly commensurate or equal to our desire to chant Hare Krishna, it's also commensurate with our desire to get sadhu sangha. We should, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm in the world and it's so difficult. It's so difficult. There's no time, etc. How can I advance? I said, if you do two things, it will inspire your devotion more than anything else. Take advantage whenever there is good kirtan. And take advantage whenever there is a sadhu that you can hear from. Sadhu sangha means what? It doesn't, I'm joking, but it doesn't mean taking pizza at the MBT with someone. Sadhu sangha means to hear from someone. So Narada was so enthusiastic to meet Uddhava, that he was actually in an ecstatic state, and he was moving through the palace and trying. It was, the Dwarka is very, very complex, where the roads are, how to find something, unless you've been there, unless you know it, it's very, very difficult. And Narada is already in an ecstatic state. But sometimes in devotion, when one is pure and surrendered, something comes through us beyond ourselves. I don't know where this quote is. It's somewhere. It says, Vyas may or may not know. And what does that mean? It means just like ourselves, sometimes we're speaking, sometimes we're teaching, sometimes we're sharing something, and something comes out better than what our intellect itself can produce. So bhakti has a way of moving through people and directing their lives. I have that experience to some degree as I'm increasing my chanting. I'm still, of course, I'm very thoughtful and I make plans, but there's a way in which the Holy Name directs you and facilitates you, because it's none different than Krishna. Relationship with the Holy Name. Anyway, Narada, he somehow gets there, and he arrives on a very unusual day, because a lot of the residents of Vrindavan, especially of Dwarka, especially the prominent ones like Rukmini and Satyabhama and the wives, and Balaram, Krishna's brother, and Uddhava, his confidential assistant, and Mohini, Balaram's mother, they're all outside Krishna's room talking. And then all of a sudden they see Narada coming in, looking like he's half intoxicated. And they're like shocked, because Narada is coming in this highly emotional, devotional state. And he's looking for Uddhava, and the depth of his devotion is so powerful that he doesn't even know that Uddhava is there. And then Uddhava embraces Narada, and then embraces and touches his feet. And Uddhava is such a good devotee, and his intelligence is so subtle that he can understand that Narada is looking for the topmost devotee. And because he's very sensitive in devotion, it's when you're advanced in devotion, your consciousness becomes inflammable to the impetus of devotional things. Udipan means the things that ignite devotion. Udipan also means to light. So Uddhava, when he sees Narada, he's very sensitive, and he understands that Narada is looking for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And then Uddhava begins to reflect in his mind. It becomes to reflect, this is of all the great devotees, this is the mercy and how bhakti works. Bhakti works as if you give your consciousness to Krishna, then nice thoughts can come in your mind, thoughts that you can follow in your devotion. Tesham satadiyuktanam bhajitam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tvam yena upayanti. One who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. He begins to reflect in his mind on all the great recipients of Krishna's mercy. And then he becomes very humble. Glorification makes one humble, because it is building up someone else and not yourself. So prayer and glorification, when done sincerely, can be very humbling. If the glorification is revealing the glories of the person who you are describing. So Uddhava thinks, I'm not a devotee, but Narada says, you're the greatest devotee. And he said, well, okay, I guess you're my guru. I guess I have to accept what you say. But the way he accepts it shows his consciousness. Yes, I'm the topmost devotee, but the reason I am the topmost devotee is because by Krishna's mercy, he sent me to Vrindavan and I met the gopis, and therefore I'm the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy, because I saw those who have the most devotion and love. And then in the story, what happens is very interesting. Because then Uddhava says, well, but when I saw, I thought I was the topmost devotee, but when I saw the love of the gopis, my pride as the topmost devotee was crushed to dust. When I actually saw them and saw their level of devotion. And of course, in a pure devotee, there's no envy. It's not about me being superior. It's about Krishna being properly glorified and served. So Uddhava begins talking about the gopis as the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy because he actually saw it personally. And then what ensues is a very interesting discussion because Mohini, she's in Dwarka now with Balaram, but she was in Vrindavan and she said, how can you say they're the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy? When he left, they almost died. Mother Yasoda is scorched by the poison of separation. I know in Valap Krishmanjali, there's a very nice verse that says, prayers to Radharani with the medicine of the red lac of your lotus feet, please cure this serpent who is near dead by the snake bite of separation from you. So they say, no, how they're suffering so much. That also shows their devotion. And then after Rohini says, and she says, no, how can they be? Then Rukmini, with Krishna's wife, she says, no. Krishna is not cold-hearted. He hasn't forgot them. Every night when I'm sleeping in bed with him, he's calling out to the gopis. He's asking his mother for butter. He's calling for the cows. And in fact, sometimes he pretends to blow his flute and his body goes in a threefold bending form. For certain, Krishna is the topmost, the residents of Vrindavan are the topmost devotees. And Satyabhama said, yes, why just sleeping? Even during the day, we can see his mind is on something else besides his queens in Dwarka. They are the topmost devotee. But then Balaram defends his mother. He said, he must be pretending that with you. It can't be real because he sent me to Vrindavan. And I was there for 2 months trying to pacify the residents of Vrindavan who are near death and are staying alive only because their death would cause Krishna pain, but they want that it would their death would relieve them from this fire of separation from Krishna. So Balaram said, I was there. I understand they were suffering. And just as my mother Rohini went to Krishna and Krishna did not say anything, he didn't go back. He only sent Uddhava with a message. And somehow or other, Balaram said, I tried to pacify them by building places where you would have your pastimes when you come. And then I finally got away and I asked you. And I told you about this. And what do? You send your messenger. You didn't go yourself. They're suffering so much. And Satyabhama said, yes, but Krishna, he's in such separation from the Vrindavan that he hasn't even, for the residents of Vrindavan, he hasn't even gotten out of bed yet. He's pulled the cover over his head and he's staying in bed. Balaram says, no, I know, he's just pretending. Because actions speak louder than words, and why hasn't he come back? And then an amazing thing happens. Krishna wakes up. And he comes out of his room and he hears the discussion. He said, yes, these people love me so much and I've treated them so cruelly and I haven't come back. And he said, but let me write another letter. And then Uddhav was saying, oh my God, another letter, that will kill them. Nothing will save them except your presence. Later in the seventh chapter, I'm sorry, this is what I have to speak about today, but, and maybe the summary is not so lucid as it can be when you study it verse for verse as I'm doing in Vrindavan. But somehow, many reasons given, very interesting reasons that were discussed, why Krishna didn't go back, very interesting, which do not negate his intense love for the gopis. And then the most very interesting scene, it's incredible, that Balaram keeps on explaining how much they're suffering, how Krishna has to come back. And then Krishna becomes in so much agony, transcendental agony and separation, that he collapses and Balaram collapses. And then the whole kingdom is in alarm because Krishna and Balaram appear nearly to be dead. They're suffering so much. So finally, gurus are coming, Gargamuni, Sandipati Muni. The gurus are coming, everybody's so concerned. And Brahma comes, and he's so intelligent, Brahma, that he says, you know, I have an idea how we can revive him. Just north of here, Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, has made a new Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan it's called, where there is an exact replica of Vrindavan pastimes. Let's take Krishna there and see if we can relieve his separation. So Krishna is there and they take Balaram, and somehow Balaram awakens out of his stupor, and then he sees Krishna, Rajavesh, dressed as a king, and they put on a yellow dhoti and they put a flute in his hands, and they don't allow any of the residents of Dwarka into New Vrindavan because Nava Vrindavan, because then Krishna would realize that it's still Dwarka and he's in separation from the gopis and he wouldn't be revived. So gently they wake up Krishna, and Krishna wakes up and he sees it's late morning and he says, oh my God, because now he thinks he sees his flute. He said, oh my God, I had this dream that I was in this other place as the king. I had this incredible dream. And then he wakes up and he sees the statue of Mother Yasoda so perfectly, and they put fresh butter in the hands. And Krishna took the butter, and then he saw his mother was not moving. Of course, she was just a replica. But in his ecstatic state, he's thinking, oh, my mother is, you know, angry with me or something. And then the same thing, he sees the gopis and there's some interaction, but they're just replicas. But his full heart comes out because Vrindavan is that place of sweetness and Madhurya, revelation of God. And the queens of Dwarka are looking from behind the trees and they're seeing Krishna Krishna saying, oh my God, it's so late, I should have been taking the cows. And Krishna starts frolicking through this replica field of Vrindavan. And they actually see he's manifesting his full personality, Akila Rasamrita Krishna. He's manifesting his full personality. It's so beautiful. And they're thinking, we've never seen our husband so beautiful before. Anyway, I think that's about as much as I can get today, but it's a really interesting story. Krishna becomes revived because he actually goes by the Arabian Sea, and then he sees a palaces in the distance, and he couldn't understand, who am I? Because he's looking, I have my dress as Krishna, and then Balaram calms him down and said, yes, this was all just done to awaken you. But you have your duties to complete. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. That you came here to annihilate the miscreants and to save the devotees. and you have to continue your mission. Really, to summarize such a long story. And then Krishna goes back to the palace and he sees that Satyabhama, because she has the flavor of love of Krishna, kind of a little contrary, that she's a little bit upset. And then Krishna says, well, I want to tell you about these gopis and about Vrindavan. And he begins to glorify it. And then begins to glorify separation. Anyway, it's kind of esoteric today, but I tried to give you something because I was traveling. Would anybody like to say hello today?
Maharaj, that was a wonderful class. Thank you so much.
Henry, always nice to hear from you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail. I thought that new Vrindavan already existed. I mean, not already existed. I thought that Vishwakarma had made new Vrindavan specifically to revive Krishna. But it seems
I'm not sure of the story. I don't remember, but as far as I remember, it already was a replica. But anyway, I could look that up, but I'm not sure. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Kishori Radha.
Okay, Priya, Kishori Radha, Lee, and Tota. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Mukunda.
Mukunda, Hare Bo. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Janine.
Janine, thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Ingrid.
Ingrid, thank you for coming on. Wonderful. Good. Anybody else? I know that in the muting and everything, not everybody can get it. If you'll excuse me, let me go a little early today because it was a long day, that 5.5 hour in the car. I mean, it was a miracle we got here. I don't know what happened, but there was thousands of trucks like lining up. And at one point there was only one road. So the cars could only go one way and then the police would have to stop it and then other cars would go the other way. And there was so many train things and our driver was just so expert. He was driving on the other side of the road, past all the trucks sometimes, and then scooting in. So a long day. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Hare Krishna.